America leads the world in medicine development. It matters. We get new medicines first, nearly 3 years faster. 5 million Americans go to work because we make medicines here at home. And not relying on other countries keeps us safe. But China is racing to overtake us. Will we let them, or will we choose to stay ahead? When America leads, America cures. Let's tell Washington to keep us in the lead.
Learn how at americacures.com. Paid for by Pharma.
We welcome you back. It is another episode of Inside Boxing Live. It's Dan Canobio. It's Chris Algieri. We're powered by PPV.com. PPV.com is your home for live streaming events, boxing, AEW wrestling, some K-pop concerts that Chris is all about. Go and live stream them. No subscriptions. We're living in the subscription world. I just signed up for Paramount Plus. Add another one to the list. PPV.com. You go fight to fight. Put your email in. Clear stream. Great stream. One of the best streams I've ever seen. Live interactive chats with me, Chris, Lance Pugmire, and more. You can stream it to any device. PPV.com is our proud presenting sponsor. We will have some more news with them in terms of live events that we'll be covering this year and beyond. Hello, Chris, and I'd like to welcome you in to the Zuffa boxing era. It has begun.
Are you ready? Got Paramount Plus? You haven't been watching Tulsa King? What's going on here? Come on, Dan.
No. My attention span is getting very, very bad. I can barely watch television shows now. I heard Tulsa King was great. It was like Sly Stallone as like a mafia boss.
My dad's obsessed. So my dad came to stay with me probably like a year ago. And he's like, Chris, have you seen this Tulsa King? I'm like, nah, Dad. I'm similar to what you just said. I'm like really, busy and my attention is elsewhere. Oh man, it's so good. It's so good. We got it. He's like, you have Paramount Plus? And I'm like, no. So I ordered it for my dad. So he's staying with me for a week or whatever. So I ordered Paramount Plus, never got rid of it. And now it actually works out because, now we have boxing on Paramount Plus. Like you said, the Zuffa era is beginning tomorrow.
Yeah, Friday.
As of right now. Tomorrow.
Friday, Zuffa boxing kicks off. I'm thinking about doing a live stream. Because I'm pretty interested in how it's going to look. I'm interested in how
I don't think you should. I think that's a bad idea.
Oh, why so?
Because you're going to let your immediate reactions out into the ether, into the world.
That's a great point. Because I was talking to my dad. He's like, you're going to do that? Because that's no filter.
Right. That's my point.
But that's why people like our show.
You should have a couple gluten-free cocktails and then do it. See how that reaction
goes. Well, vodka is gluten-free, bro. The only thing that has gluten in it is beer. But I found a really good gluten-free beer that I'm actually...
I really doubt that.
No, it's really good. I got to go order it because we're getting a big snowstorm. Are you guys getting snow in Florida?
Negative. No. Negative. I heard you guys are getting crushed on Sunday.
Yeah, big time. Like, I'm trying to figure out, like, it's now where we have to figure out the moves. Like, today, tomorrow are the moves to, like, get your food situated, get your... where you're going to be. Like, am I going to stay, ride it out here at the apartment?
Blizzard party, dude.
Blizzard party.
We have hurricane parties down here. You guys got blizzard parties up there.
Yeah, I'm thinking about doing a little blizzard party. Maybe with the fam. Maybe not, but I got to get my gluten-free beer and my snacks. But according to the Zuffa stream, I'm thinking about doing it. It could be dangerous, especially if I get some drinks in me. And I just want to see how it's all going to look. We have Zuffa 1 coming our way Friday night with Callum Walsh. In the main event versus Carlos Ocampo. I think we have Joe Tessitore, Andre Ward, Max Kellerman as the broadcast team.
They got Tess? That's great.
Well, Tess makes sense. He's a TKO guy now. He does WWE. He no longer does Top Rank. ESPN is gone. So, yeah, I like that team. He's a big listener of the pod. Love Joe Tess. But they're coming out swinging. I want to see how the production is going to look. As a boxing nerd, I want to see Dana White says it's a whole new production team. It's not the UFC production team. It's coming to you from the Apex. I want to see, are they going to be wearing uniforms?
Apparently, the teams are. Our guy, Freddie Roach, posted his Zuffa gray outfit all matched out. And I was like, uh-oh, here we go. They're rolling out the uniforms. Not a good look. Not for boxing.
Was that a swag bag, or is that what Freddie has to wear in the corner? I'm
I don't know. That's a question. That's why I said, I was like, are they rolling out the uniforms? Because that would be, I don't think that's a good look. I don't think it's good.
Yes. These are the questions that keep me up at night. Will they be wearing uniforms? Will it be standardized? It's already coming to you from the Apex. So, and there's going to be fans there. The prices are kind of crazy. I think it's like $250 to get in, up to $1,000 to sit close. But I have a buddy, Jay Griggs, our friend.
Close? Every seat is close there. It's the Apex. What does that mean, sit close?
Some are closer than others. Some.
Okay, my living room is close. That's how big the Apex Center is. That's crazy.
They don't do it for a live gate. They do it to control the atmosphere.
So why are they banging you over the head?
It's the meta Apex, bro. I've heard it has some pretty cool interactive stuff in there. Jay Griggs, our friend, has been there for some events, some contender series events with Dana. It's got like that, like private exclusive vibe to it. You know what I mean? Like, I think they're charging for that. Like, your average fan is getting priced out of these UFA boxing events. I just think they're like, hey, let's open it up and get something out of it. Because I think they're opening it up now for UFC events too, because they still do some UFC events at the Apex. That's a new revelation. So we'll see there. But the Zuffa boxing era has begun. It's been talked about for years now. I remember Dana White wearing a Zuffa boxing shirt when I interviewed him back in 2017 in the lead up to Mayweather McGregor. And now it's here. They have their first big time fight card, or whatever. It's not a big time fight card, but it's a card. And we watched the press conference, and it was kind of crazy to see Dana White leading a press conference, getting a lot of questions thrown his way about the direction of this enterprise. Where is it going to go? Where is it going to be? Very little questions about the actual fights, though. A lot of questions about the business sides of things. Like Jay Apatia, is he going to fight for unifications? Apparently so. So the Zuffa boxing era is here, Chris. And I think it's one of the most interesting times in the sport. And I say interesting because that's the word, because I don't know if it's good or bad.
I don't. I just think it's another player coming in, and obviously it's a powerful player, but we'll just pay attention, because listen, this has happened before. You might have been a little too young to remember, but this has happened.
I'm only like 4 years younger than you.
I know, I'm joking. In the early 2000s, you know, you had, you know, the 50 Cents come into boxing. You had, you know, Jay-Z with Rockefeller try, and like, it was this big old, and at that time it was just like this. That's the only thing everybody was talking about. And then they came in. I think they're a lot smarter than those guys, and they have a lot more money behind them, and they're willing to go way deeper than those guys were. So it will be very different. But in terms of the, you know, how big of a deal this is, we've done this before. There's nothing new in boxing. It's so old. Boxing is so old, man. We have seen everything. And this is just another player trying to come in. And listen, we've had players come in and make invasions and stay. PBC, essentially, Al Haymon is coming from the music industry, came into boxing, doing another business, and made it work. He's still here, still doing it, still did very, very well. Is this going to be another one of those, or is this going to be someone who's going to take over, which it seems like that's the goal?
So you just threw out a lot of different varies. You varied there.
Levels.
You went through different spectrums. 50 Cent coming in, Jay-Z coming in, low end. PBC.
High-end.
More in line with what we are seeing out of the Zuffa thing. They tried to do what Zuffa's, I think, going to accomplish. PBC came in. They should have tried to amend the Ali Act. They just didn't have the ear of Donald Trump like Dana White does. They should have made a UBO. They should have made their own titles. Not should have, but like that's what they wanted to do. And they didn't. And it ultimately has fizzled out. It took about 10 years for PBC to fizzle out or to really slow down. Zuffa, on the other hand, I think this is way different. I think it's gonna happen quicker than people think. The Opetaia signing came out of nowhere. Now we have Alexander Usyk in legitimate talks with Zuffa Boxing. Usyk's team has confirmed that. That's a big thing. So I think they're moving the goalposts, Dana. He came out blustery. There's too many sanctioning bodies. There's too many belts. Boxing is a mess. I'm going to come in and fix it. This is how we're going to do it. We're going to do it just like the UFC did it, blah, blah, blah. So then that gets people going. Now we see an Opetaia signing. Now we see Opetaia's manager say they're going to allow him to fight for unifications and other sanction advice. Now we see Usyk. They're going to do everything this year because they can. They have the money. They have a broadcast home. They have clout. So I would not be shocked if you see some huge names signed to Zuffa. And while they keep doing these types of shows, because Zuffa 2 is announced with Valenzuela, Torres, Boachuk, Hot Rod. Zuffa 3 will be shortly after that, February 14th. F.A. Ajagba, Charles Martin. That's three shows in 1 month. Who's doing three shows in 1 month right now?
I think you're wrong about a lot of that, actually.
Like, I think push back. I think, let's hear I think, it. First take.
The Opetaia signing's not that big of a deal, honestly.
How so?
Because it's the cruiserweights. It's exactly how I said MVP came into boxing and took over the women's sport. They went where there's push, there's mush. Or where where there's mush, there's push. So the cruiserweight division is weak. You go in, you can get a big high signing guy. And apparently, from what I heard on one of our shows, I was talking to Paulo Monaghi, who was just in Australia. Jai Opetaia is vastly underpaid for as good as he is. So he was a cheaper than other type of potential superstar signing. Second of all, you're going to let him fight for the belts. I said this last episode. I said this flat out. There's no shot they're going to cut the belts out when you just sign a guy like that. He's going to have to fight for those belts. He's going to have to unify. So,
yeah, but they were saying the messaging before that was not that.
Correct. That's my point. They're already conceding. That's my point of why it's not that big of a deal. Also, bro, what do you think? You're signing Usyk to a long-term deal? No, you're gonna host his fight. That's all it is. Just like they did the fight in September with Canelo and Crawford. It's not. Is it a big deal? Yeah, you're making some big moves. But listen, guys like Usyk, guys like Canelo, guys like Crawford, those guys move on their completely own orbit at this point. You're not. That's not changing the game. You're basically just hosting their event. That's all it is. Usyk can go fight whoever he wants. When this, we have multiple people saying they're going to do that. He needs a home. There is no network home for him at this point. Of course, it makes sense that they would talk to these guys. These are the guys who are paying. Are they paying enough? We'll see. Does it really matter for Usyk all that much? He's going to get paid. He's going to make his money however the way he makes it. But it's not going to be like a long-term thing. Like, now they signed Usyk. No, you're hosting an Usyk fight. So in terms of what the real meat and potatoes of Zuffa is, it's what you said. It's those three shows in the next month. And they're not great shows. They're not gonna break blockbuster numbers or anything like that. That's not what it's for. Mm-hmm. I've been saying it just from the beginning, in like a lamb, it's going to be pervasive. You're going to see them on Paramount Plus. You're going to be bombarded by show after show after show after show. That's where the model of the UFC is falling in to play for boxing. That's where it's going to work. Not this explode onto the scene with a reality TV show and these huge, amazing fights. No, that's not the play. The play is that everywhere you look, you're going to see Zuffa boxing. And then eventually, that's all you're going to be looking at. That's the plan.
Yeah. To the cruiserweight thing. The cruiserweight division could be something special if you have Benavidez in it, which it does. You have Opetaia.
Benavidez is not going to stay there, though. I don't think he's going to stay. He beat Zerto. He'll probably go back down and fight Bivol and Beterbiev. If he loses to Zerto, he's definitely not going to stay. He's going to go back down and be like,
Do you think Benavidez should beat Zerto? And I would say it's a better than 50% chance that he stays at cruiserweight. And then I think it's a pretty good chance that Zuffa lures Benavidez into some type of deal because they have the money to sign the bigger names. Like, they're doing a two-pronged attack, and I actually think it's kind of smart. It's way smarter than coming in and saying what they've said in the past. That got headlines, and I still think they will accomplish a lot of those goals. Look at what's going on in Congress. There was a lot more movement with the Ali Act. That's going to get passed, and there are some amendments on that we'll talk about in a second. I think Zuffa is doing a two-pronged attack. They are doing these smaller events. They're signing, scooping up young talent. They are scooping up mid-level talent. And they're going to bid on guys like Usyk. Usyk is a calculated signing, just like Opetaia is a calculated signing. But
Usyk's not a signing. You cannot put Usyk and Opetaia in the same sentence as a signing. Because Usyk, you're signing an event. You're finding one of his fights.
But still,
you're signing as an athlete for Opetaia.
Opetaia is less is what? How old is Opetaia? Is an investment way more than I get you. Usyk is a late career. That's more of a like, hey, look what we could pull off. Zuffa, look what we could do. Like, we could put
Opetaia is a legit. He's the tip of the spear. Like, he is. Right. He is their, he is their late stage champion. Like, this is where we're going.
Yeah, there's different rungs.
Yes, for sure.
Different tiers, I should say. Usyk's a way different tier. I agree with you. He's a legend with two fights, three fights left. Zuffa signs him. That's to say, hey, look what we can do. Get our name out there. Dana stands in the middle of Usyk and Wilder, Usyk and Ruiz.
You're saying Usyk signing and- him. What do you mean? As a promoter? Or you're promoting a fight of his? They're signing him as an athlete, as a Zuffa athlete.
If it's, I would have to see the deal. Is it a one off? Then yeah, it's just a one off. Is it two or three fights for Usyk? Then that's a signing. What's different between that or a three fight deal he'll sign with Matcher?
I'd like to see. Is this a one off? Is this because it seems to me Usyk just needs a home for his fight? He doesn't need a promoter. Man. You know,
like, yeah. And
Obataya is a different thing. Obataya needs he needs a promotional arm.
Well, back to Obataya. I think it's a calculated move with Cruiserweight. There are names around Cruiserweight. Benavidez is there. Zerto is there. I do think they're going to have those fights under the Zuffa banner. And I think if Benavidez can get past Zerto, Benavidez-Opataya is a pretty mouth-watering fight in the summertime or the fall under the Zuffa banner. So I think that's a good risk there. So they're doing... They're just going about it big time right now. We're getting hit over the head with it. The press conference was on UFC's YouTube page. They're spreading it all out. You go on Paramount Plus, it's everywhere on there. Zuffa Boxing. It was not on the NFL playoff game. That was just a UFC read for 324, which is this weekend. It's another thing, too. We're rolling out UFC 324. And Dana White has been giving you little breadcrumbs. You know, he says in a perfect world, he would do a Zuffa Boxing event either Friday or Sunday of a big UFC weekend. So you can get Zuffa Boxing on Friday, or you get Zuffa Boxing on Sunday, sandwiched or a precursor to a big UFC event. And this is the grand scheme where you just, it's just a big, it's scooped up into one big TKO group with WWE, UFC, Zuffa Boxing. It's all happening right before our eyes. And it's one thing that we've talked about for like 6 months now, but now to actually see it, to see a press conference, to see the first event, to see an Opataya sign, to see a Usyk in serious talks, it's happening, bro. I think it's gonna happen quick.
I don't. I think it's gonna take time. I think, like I said, it's gonna be pervasive. It's gonna be the boiling of the frog. It's going to be all around, and you know, there'll be some good fights here. It's going to take time, dude. It's going to take time for deals to expire. It's going to take time for belts not to quote unquote matter. It's going to take time for, you know, guys are going to be retiring, leaving, transition. We're in a very transitional period in terms of the sport for the stars of the sport. Yeah. And I think a lot of this is going to be signing new talent that's going to grow into the next generation. That's the move. And it's not going to be that quick. Are we going to have a lot of fights? Absolutely. And that's great. And that's a really good thing. I love that we have Paramount fights. We have three in 1 month. That's great. Zuffa Boxing, mm-hmm. staying busy, giving these guys opportunities, more and more boxing on big streaming networks. Love it. Absolutely love it. Coupling it with the marketing arm of UFC. So we're not battling head to head. Love it. Boxing and UFC building together. Love it. Love it. Love all that. And all of that's going to be good. This is going to be the heyday for the fans at this point. We're going to see what happens when they start to transition, how long that's going to take. I do think it's going to take some time. The powers that be are going to push back. They have been pushing back. And it's going to take time. I guess it's all relative, right? You say it's going to happen really, really fast. I mean, what's really, really fast? Like,
well, I bet this year? They're going to sign guys that I think they're going to have some shocking signings.
I think coming out of the gate with Opataya was a good one. But if you look past it a little bit, you kind of see the writing on the wall of that one. Usyk's right, another one. Again, also, I think you got to look through some certain things for that. Usyk signing Usyk's next fight, is that bigger than Canelo Crawford? No, it's not. They've already done something big like that in a one-off.
I'd say it's number
event.
Two.
Yeah, it would be number two, and Opataya is a close number three, I would say. I think Opataya is a lot more indicative because you're looking at more of a long-term play mm-hmm. there. Opataya, I think Opataya, like I said, Opataya to me is the tip of the spear for them at this point, right now. Until we hear another big signing, I think that Opataya can drive a lot for them.
A UFC fighter responded to one of my tweets, and he compared it to when the UFC invested heavily in the light heavyweight division with Forrest Griffin. They did the Ultimate Fighter 1, which essentially launched UFC, and he compared it to that. I think it was Matt Lawler. Is that his name? I don't know.
Robbie Lawler.
That's not Robbie. Robbie Lawler is not the guy.
Matt Lindland? Responded.
I don't know. A UFC fighter responded to one of my tweets. I can't find it. But he compared it. He compared the Opetaia signing to UFC's early investment in light heavyweight, which spawned the UFC to what it is today. You know, investing in the light heavyweight division with Forrest Griffin and doing Ultimate Fighter.
Wrong. That was the Ultimate Fighter. That was the investment came from the Ultimate Fighter. That's a silly comparison because that was a reality TV show built that got crazy views. Everybody watched it. I watched it. The drama was amazing. The Ultimate Fighter was a fantastic watch. That drove the birth of putting money into light heavyweight division. This is an entirely different venture. This is closer to investing in slap fighting than it is to comparing it to the UFC build. That's a very silly take.
I think it was I didn't prepare this for the pod, but I think he was saying it's similar to what you just said. Like the Zuffa's investing in a weight class. They see an opening and they're investing in a weight class.
Oh, for cruiserweight being investing in a. Well, no, it's no. The comparison is MVP investing in the women's. That's the comparison. What they're the investing frig? In a niche aspect of the sport. They're investing in a weight class because where there's mush, there's push. There's ability for them to access the highest level guys because it's an underpaid division, just like the women were. That allowed MVP to step in and completely scoop up the market. They are grabbing the top guy at cruiserweight. And they're, like you said, there are some good names there.
Oh, here it is. Filthy Tom Lawler. 4-time UFC Performance of the Night winner. He says the start of the UFC days under Dana and the Fertittas had their early success with the light heavyweight fighters. I was way off, guys. Chuck, Tito, Randy, Belfort, Shamrock.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so you...
Listen, I'm not a UFC guy. Interesting that it seems to be the same play 20 years later. So UFC targeted...
Also don't agree.
Because light heavyweights. I'm not saying I agree with this guy. I just thought it was interesting he brought this up.
I don't see the comparison. Why?
He's saying because we're saying that Zuffa is investing in cruiserweight. They're looking at a weight class they think they can control. Apparently, he's saying in the early days, UFC found it or it fell into their lap with Chuck, Tito, Randy, Belfort, Shamrock.
They had a whole bunch of studs who were fighting each other because the talent pool was there was 10 guys in the world that would fight. But it turns out that 5 of them were really, really good. And they were all really highly invested. And also, it was a brand new thing. Cruiserweight division isn't new. These guys have been around for a long time.
Was it about the cruiserweight division or was it about the names? Because Opetaia, Zerto, Benavidez, William Smith, potential someone moving up from light heavyweight.
It's both. It's what I said. It's that there's an opportunity to step into the cruiserweight division and grab a big name. Jai Opetaia, is not a big name in the world. No one knows who the hell he is. But he is the top cruiserweight in the world. And there are some very good fighters at cruiserweight. It is the weight class. That is all. You can't jump into heavyweight and grab, you know, Anthony Joshua. You can't jump into, you know, welterweight and grab Devin Haney. Like there are big names in other weight classes. They're not jumping in and signing those guys right away. Cruiserweight, there's an opportunity. And again, like I'm saying, Paulie Malignaggi spoke to some people in Australia and said that Jai Opetaia is kind of like a guy, he's just like, he'll fight for anything. He's a fighter. He's not one of those guys who's going to be looking for a giant paydays in order to sign. He's like, oh, we got to fight? We got to fight this guy? We'll fight him? Oh, cool. What do I sign? Okay, let's fight.
A perfect storm for Zuffa.
Yes, exactly.
I'm very curious about that. Usyk's not going to come at a discount.
No.
They might be more willing to do those one-off, two-offs. Just for messaging to say, hey, look, we have the champ. Zuffa Boxing has the heavyweight champion.
Could you imagine what Usyk was making for those Tyson Fury fights? Like, I mean.
Oh, he was the highest paid athlete a couple of years ago.
Thank you. You think he's going to take a step down? You know.
Well, they'd have to. That's why I think Zuffa's going about this differently now. And I think it's a smart approach is they have the bankroll to sign an Usyk. And they also are going to put on these smaller events, and they're also going to change legislation I mean, this Ali Act is getting pushed through. There's some very interesting amendments being done to it. One that I think the boxing world can all agree with
is good ones in there.
Yeah. Sanctioned bodies reward just one belt per division, with only extenuating circumstances allowing for the distribution of an interim belt. That's huge. So under this amendment, you could no longer have super champion, Bubba this champ, WBA.
Diamond belt, silver belt, the copper belt, the Mexican champ belt, the Puerto Rican belt, the Northeast Miami belt. I agree.
Northeast Miami, baby.
Those are all just ways for sanctioned bodies to get their fees and make more money. And it's highway robbery.
Yeah, that part is making a lot of inroads on Twitter, and I see that being shared. But there's also some very troubling parts of this bill that are being proposed that we've talked
overlooked.
About. Yeah, crazy stuff. Like, totally going to wash out club boxing by raising the insurance premiums, locking fighters in for maybe almost 6 years with some of these coercive tactics. And other things are good, you know, raising the lower price. Listen, the guys like that are going to be fighting on this card on Zuffa on Friday night, the early guys, are probably love a new UBO, probably love the Ali Act, new Ali Act. And you have Dana White up there saying, listen, nothing's changing, guys. There's going to be, you can opt into this one or you can stick with the old one. Like, okay, but the promoters are all going to go for the one that benefits them. And it's a long play. Eventually, there won't be an option. If Zuffa has their way, there won't be an option. You'll be subject to the new legislation. It could be a whole different world. The world that you entered, Chris, as a boxer, is going to be way different than the world that boxers are entering now and moving forward.
It's the boiling frog, dude. You can pick your way, you can pick that way, but eventually it's going to be my way. That's whole play. That is the
Dana
whole
was
play.
Short of saying that. Dana he stopped himself from saying that.
Also, this new Ali reform, it's all fluff bullshit. There's no teeth to any of this. None of this matters. The first Ali Act was written by boxing promoters who are lawyers. They wrote in loopholes for them to step around it. You think this is any different? It is not.
It was somewhat protective of you guys. This is going
There's going to be, but also, Dan, when you say it was protective, the only protection it gave, and which it helped me, was there was something for us to point to and be like, you can't do that, and this is why. But then also, if you're going to fight, you still got to fight. Like, you basically being like, I have a reason to fight you, and the courts will be like, okay, well, go ahead, pay for it, and mount your own defense. Good luck, kind of thing. Unless there is teeth, unless there is an agency, unless there is someone overlooking this, unless there is someone who can make it affordable, efficient for in terms of time and money to arbitrate promoters and fighter friction, it means absolutely nothing. None of this stuff matters. This is all fluff for us to look at and be like, oh, wow, they made some really good things. Oh, no, they made these bad things. It's all bad, guys. None of this is going to help a fighter.
I know. What I call that was the one good thing that came out of it. It's like some of the media I see really like grasping.
And it's all the idiots talk about because they're like, that's a great idea.
Look, they're going to take the belt. I saw cops post it. It's like they're going to get rid of all the belts. And I think that's low-hanging fruit for boxing fans to be like, wow, that's cool. And most boxing fans have lives. They're not going to read through the amendments. They're not going to read through these documents and look, oh, wow, they only increased, fighters are going to get paid $200 a round now instead of something lower than that.
It was 150.
$150
was a minimum.
Right. So there's not going to be a lot of people combing through this amendment. They're just going to see it get passed.
You made a great point about upping the insurance, though. That's going to crush club shows.
Done. Club shows are cooked. They're already on life support as it is, club shows. So now you up the premiums in some of these states. That's what they're trying to do. Zuffa's trying to wipe everyone out, and they're trying to do their own thing. They're going about it in many different ways because we're seeing all the money they have. As for the first fight night, which is Friday night, Paramount Plus, you know, Callum Walsh, Carlos Ocampo is the main event. You're going to want to tune in early if you really care about two prospects. Troy Nash is a featherweight. Robert Merriweather III is a junior lightweight. One interesting thing too about this, Chris, is they have Callum Walsh fighting at middleweight because I believe they just want to only use the original 8 weight classes. Callum Walsh's entire career was spent Jarley at 154. Ocampo as well, 154. Some 147.
47 and 40, yeah.
Fought Spence at 147, got smoked. He fought Fandora, lost that one too. That's interesting here, is that they want to try that. But then again, just go back to our whole last segment, is they want to do the original eight weight classes, but they go and sign a cruiserweight. Cruiserweight was not cruiserweight is not a weight class.
So there's 80s, 70s. Yeah, there's some concessions. There's posturing. There's standing on business when it at certain times, and then not when it's other times. You know, that's just how you have to play with boxing, because you cannot completely restructure the sport. I don't care how much money you have. You have other entities involved. This isn't the early days of the UFC. This isn't Vince McMahon, engulfing other wrestling promotions, as he goes on a drive in his truck. This is an entirely different animal. This is the seven families of the boxing world mafias you're going to try and overtake. It's going to take time. So you can't come and change the game. And on top of it, boxing is funny because it's not just the seven families; it's the fighters themselves. You have guys who are so high on the rung of importance and hierarchy of boxing. You're going to have to make concessions to those guys too, like Usyk. You're not telling Usyk what to do. You're not telling Usyk he can't have his belt. You're not telling Tyson Fury anything. You're not telling, if Floyd wants to come back or Terrence Crawford or even Canelo. You know, those guys have their own orbits. So in terms of this Callum Walsh thing of fighting at 160, is that because of that? Or is it because, one, maybe Callum Walsh is just growing out of the weight class. He's a young guy. He is tall. Two, there's no room for him at 54. You're trying to build someone to eventually, probably sooner than later, fight for a title. Who the hell is he fighting at 54? Not knocking Callum.
None of those guys.
Zero of those guys.
I don't think highly of him to begin with.
Yeah, he hasn't shown a whole lot. He does need some more growth. Is that because of the original weight classes, or is that because 60 is weak and there's an opening there for him to fight at that?
I think it's both. I think it's, hey, it's more messaging from Zuffa. Hey, we're getting rid of all these stupid weight classes. So now I look at their actual Zuffa bout sheet on their website. It's middleweight, welterweight, featherweight, bantamweight, lightweight. No junior, no supers. So I think it's, once again, messaging. It's the messaging, Chris. It's, once again, it's, we're going to tell you the stuff that fans have been saying for years. Too many belts, too many this, too many weight classes. We're going to say that, but we're also going to go other ways too, because of what you just said, how this is a 100-year-old sport and their fighters are accustomed to certain things. And one good point you made there with the Usyk to Canelos, like we've talked about this on past episodes too, how the boxing world is, the big stars are starting to age out. And now guys like Devin Haney, or I'm just gonna use him as an example, is like the second rung. You know, he's about, not 30 yet, but he's pretty established. And he's accustomed to these big exorbitant paydays. Is he gonna fight this too? Or is he going to fall in line if Zuffa has their way? That's interesting to me, because that's the next tier, right? It's Usyk's, the Furies, Wilder, Canelo, late 30s. They could probably sign on with Zuffa and keep their high paydays because of their name recognition. It's what's next for Devin, Ryan, Tio, Shakur. For the most part, those are the next rung before you get down to the young 20s, like Abdullah, Keyshawn. He's like 25, Keyshawn. I put him in there with Shakur and them.
You're gonna have to overpay the guys who are in the sport now and have already reached a certain level, and you're going to need to invest in the youth coming up for the next generation. That's why I'm saying this is gonna take long. It's a slow play. Because Devin Haney's not taking less money. Devin has never taken less money his entire career. That guy does not give up any ground that he makes up. Him and Bill have been very smart the way they move him.
His career is going backwards.
Up, and that comes with a price tag. You've got those types of guys; they're not coming down in price, so they're going to have to overpay those guys. That's why that when that whole contract thing came out, and everyone flipped out. I'm like, who cares? The contract's going to be for the bottom rung of guys who are signed, who have literally nowhere to go, backs against the wall. That is not the guys that you watch on TV. So they're going to have to overpay in the beginning, and they're saving money on their shows. Obviously, they're saving money on these shows that are coming out. They're saving, you know, fighting in the Apex Center, having, you know, guys with very low profiles, guys that are not going to take a whole lot of money, guys that have been sitting vacant. Get Charles Martin fighting, dude. Guys have fought in how many years? You don't got to pay that guy a ton. he needs a fight. He needs a
network. He's like, who is this? Dude from boxing?
Boxing.
I'm in.
I remember that.
Boxing, yeah.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
I've been laying on my couch. You see this Robert Merriweather who's fighting on this card, who's also fought in Pro Box. Is also so he's had some experiences, limited experiences with different promotions. He tweeted out or made a YouTube or Instagram comment here. He says on his first experience with Zuffa Boxing, which has been this fight week, I fought on Top Rank, been with Floyd. This is one of the best experiences that I've had. They make me feel like I'm an actual investment. It's like an actual professional sport. I went to their facility and seen all the different things. In boxing, we never had access to what we're getting now, which is the Apex UFC Performance Institute. I kind of feel like a football player, an NFL player, an NBA player. We get cryotherapy, snacks, food, nutrition, and a nutritionist. They cook for you. You get meal preps. What's your initial reaction to that?
That's the Apex Center. If you've ever been there, you know, when I was with Danny Jacobs, we trained out of there, and yeah, they have all that. It's amazing. It does feel like the NFL. It's very cool. It's the way it's supposed to be. But I mean, you give a guy snacks and he gets happy. Hungry fighters. No, I'm joking.
Bro,
no, that's actually cool.
No, bro. It reminds me of a lot of jobs I've had in sports. I worked at Bleacher Report, and I was getting modest salary, nothing, right out of college. But they had snacks.
The coffee.
Right. They had a freaking bar. We had a keg. We had a bar. We had games. We had snacks. And I remember
it's Silicon Valley stuff.
Right. I would text my buddies, yo, we got snacks, dude. Like, I'm having string cheese.
I love
bro.
This job. I can't pay my rent, but I love this job.
Right. Like, they got a bar here. And Max Kellerman posted that thing I just read, and the comments are unbelievable. Like, how about, let's see what their purses are. Max, you sold your soul. You're going
Max
to
is
someone
getting
of the
flame, dude. He is. Oof.
Yeah. So
nonstop flame.
The young fighters are going to look at this, like the Merriweather is going to look at this and say, you know what? You're right. Like, I don't see your Top Rank has a gym. They don't have the Apex Center. There's going to be pros and cons. I think young fighters are going to see benefits of this. I do think, I've been saying this since day one, I do think there's something beneficial to signing with Zuffa. It's up to you and your manager and where you're at in your career and how you want to manage your expectations and money. It's very rare that a guy reaches your level. It's very rare that a guy reaches Canelo level. But if you can make a good living and you can get some more perks out of it, some insurance...
Yeah, but where pension? I came from, who's to say I wasn't a guy that would have signed with Zuffa? It was very likely I would have.
I was going to ask you that. I was going to ask you. Would you have signed with Zuffa?
I mean, it was it's hard to go back to that, but I was struggling mightily. I mean, I had no money. I was paying for my own training camps, barely making it by. I luckily did pretty well for making money for a local guy because I sold so many tickets and I sold merch and I was an entrepreneur in terms of that way.
You hustled.
I hustled, but I worked my ass off to be that way, but still it was pennies, you know, a few thousand here, a few extra thousand there. But I was constantly hustling and bustling. And if, you know, dude, going into fights with broken hands so I could use the insurance from Fight Night to get a cast, like that was the life I lived. So if Zuffa is offering me insurance and modest pay and regularity, that was the biggest thing. I didn't know what my next fight was, which meant I didn't know where my next paycheck was, which meant I didn't know where my next meal was. So it's very alluring to that level of guy, the Roger, Robbie, what's his name? Roger Mayweather?
Merriweather.
Was it Roger? What's his first name?
I think it
I know
is
I
Roger.
Called the kid. Roger, okay. Roger Merriweather.
Robert, you know, sorry, Robert.
Robert, sorry, Robert. I've called you fight. I can't believe I forgot the kid's name.
A lot of fights.
You know what I'm thinking Roger Mayweather.
Everyone, every barber you went to and every uncle was always like, yo, what's up with that Floyd Merriweather?
That's true. So actually on the call, I think Paulie had trouble with his name, kept saying Mayweather instead of Merriweather, but
like your one friend that kind of follows boxing during from like 2008 to 2016 thought it was Floyd Mayweather. So you combined Roger, Robert,
so did my dad.
Floyd.
So
yeah, your dad. Yeah, that type of.
What's up with this Mayweather guy?
This Mayweather guy can box, but man, he talks a lot.
This Mayweather guy, he only does his run. That's the number one. You want to piss me off, Unc? Say that shit. This Floyd Mayweather, all he does is run.
Being in a barbershop in like 2010. Yo, you work in boxing? Yeah. Yo, Mayweather, man. Guy's fucking bum.
Yeah, I don't like that guy. All he does is run. He needs to fight a guy like Manny Pacquiao. He did. He beat him. No. When did they
fight?
Yeah, but he ran the whole time. Yeah, but...
He landed like 50% of his power shots in that fight. Chris Algieri would look at Azufa.
100%. I would look at it, especially if you caught me at the right time in my career, 1,000%.
There's a good chance you wouldn't have made the money you made against the Pacquiao or Spence or Khan.
Very good chance. Very good chance. If I had signed early on, I probably would have never been a world champion. I would have maybe been a Wazufa champion, but I would never have been a WBO champion because, you know, apparently that next rung of guys is not going to have the opportunity to fight for those titles.
The times are a-changing. I had like an epiphany last night. I watched the press conference and I saw it. I saw Dana White standing up there with boxers and I saw him doing his normal UFC stuff for boxing. I saw him post.
Was he wearing a suit?
He was wearing his normal, like, denim jacket, Dunks. Gained 25 pounds. You see that?
I did not see that, no.
So he was on that crazy diet.
He's off the Gary Brecka.
Yes.
Jerry Brecka.
I've been ingesting a lot of Dana White content over the last 48 hours. He's everywhere.
Have you been showering more? Do you feel dirty?
It's a big part of my life, boxing. So now I see a guy heading in. I've always looked at Dana from the peripheral. He was the first ever guest on Inside Boxing Live. But I look at him from the peripheral because I'm not a huge UFC guy. But I do respect what he's built there. And I also don't like a lot of the stuff he's done there. And now he's coming into my home, literally, watching these press conferences. So I'm going to be watching closely. I think I will do a stream. And I think I will be... I'm not going to just sit there and rip everything. Oh, my God, they got uniforms. But I'm very curious about what it's going to look like. I think the fight's going to be decent. I think the presentation's going to be top-notch because that's the one thing they love and the one thing they can control is a good presentation. We'll see, man. It's here, and it's moving pretty quick, but it's also going to take a while. I think we can all agree on that. We got a big fight, Chris, in the lightweight division. Raymond Murataya is fighting Andy Cruz, mouth-watering type of fight. A hardcore boxing fan's delight. Murataya upgraded to champion once Lomachenko retired. Andy Cruz, decorated amateur who's burst onto the professional scene, looking to become a titleist in just 7 fights, which would be pretty damn impressive. I love this fight. Getting slept on because it's not a very marketable fight. But us boxing hardcores will be tuned in on Saturday night on DAZN.
This is a fighter's fight. Fighters, people in the know, hardcores will be locked into this fight. This is a great, great matchup. And you got two fighters that their profiles don't match their level of skill. There's no question. Murataya is extremely dangerous. He's big. He's strong. He's youthful. He's ready. He's primed. This is his opportunity. And you got Andy Cruz, man, whose skills are sublime, who Shakur Stevenson himself said that the only person out there that he could think of that could match his boxing IQ is Andy Cruz. And wow. I have to believe that. I see that. And also the way that he's progressed as a pro has been, I've never seen anyone progress the way that he has. Maybe Lomachenko.
Yeah,
I was going to say, Lomachenko is the only one I've seen progress into the pro ranks as seamlessly as Andy Cruz has. Really, really good fight. Hard one to pick. I lean Andy just because I think he has more tools in the box, but he's got so little world-class experience in the pros. Not that Murataya has a ton. I don't think either one has really fought guys that are super world-class that were there to win, but they're going to be fighting each other, and they're both world-class, and they're both there to fight for everything they've got. Really, really good fight. I am going to be watching this one on the edge of my seat.
Yes. Murataya has 113 pro rounds. He's actually, how old is he? He's 29. When you have Andy Cruz, who has 45 pro rounds, and he's 30. But he has the amateur pedigree, and he's burst onto the scene, fighting Juan Carlos Burgos in a 10-round fight in your debut, and that's dominating crazy. Him, going out fighting Antonio Moran and stopping him, fighting Salcido and pretty much blanking him, pretty much stopping Mashiro in his last fight, rising the ranks, number one in the WBC, highly ranked in the IBF. Muay Thai, I don't think, wanted to take this fight. I don't mean to put words in his mouth, but Muay Thai wanted to fight Schofield. He wanted to hold on to this, but he wanted to make an involuntary defense, of his IBF title. But the IBF is one of the sanctioning bodies that actually applies rules. And Andy Cruz was the interim, and he gets this shot. It's not the biggest fight, and I don't think Muay Thai is going to be breaking the bank for this type of fight, but it's going to be really tough. And the betting odds here are -275 favorite is Andy Cruz. Muay Thai is sitting at +210. So Cruz is opened up as almost a 3-1 favorite. Cruz by stoppage, +350. There's some pundits out there that believe maybe late rounds. You know, Muay Thai has been down twice in his career. He's never been stopped. He's undefeated. Has fought good talent, Muay Thai as well. You know, Abolev, he went the distance with him. He went the distance with Tevin Farmer. That was a somewhat close fight. Steve Weisfeld had 96-93. Tim Cheatham had 95-94. Nakatia, he stopped Nakatia. So Muay Thai has a lot of experience on the professional level. Cruz has a lot of experience on the amateur level. There's a lot of interesting aspects of this fight. I love it.
Agreed. I'm surprised that Andy's that high of a favorite.
3-1.
I said I leaned Andy. I could see Andy stopping him.
Yeah. I'm looking at that line. 350 is juicy.
If I was going to take a risky bet, you know, and for I'm saying risk relatively for me because I'm not a gambler.
Sure you are.
I would go that way. But I also
you're a sneaky gambler.
I'm a sneaky gambler. Yeah, I come in and I grab bags.
Yeah, late. You'll just send me a. You'll look. I bet.
Check it. I bet.
But you won't put it out there.
No, because I feel like it's like quantum mechanics. If I put it out there, it won't happen. So I can't. You know.
I know.
If you stare, you know, a boiling pot doesn't boil when you look at it. So you got to just kind of set it and forget it. But I could see Muay Thai. We've never seen Andy really get hit. I know he got wrung a little bit by the Moran in the Moran fight. He got hit with a left hook that he looked like it shook him a little bit. Haven't really seen him hurt. Moran's a decent puncher, not as good as Muay Thai. What if Muay Thai puts that left hook on him? You know, like what if he gets in the trade? It's a 12-round fight. You never know. There's so many question marks about Andy just because we haven't seen him at the world class professional level.
Right.
That you could take a much more risky bet and look at the Muay Thai, you know, victory. Could be money line, could be
that's
stoppage.
Plus money. It's plus money for Muay Thai, +210 on the money line.
And what is Muay Thai
by decision? Muay Thai stoppage, +380. That would be shocking. I think that should be higher. Muay Thai decision is +650.
Dang.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're thinking the same thing I am. Like, there's, you know, they could see Andy getting clipped. Good fight either way. That just tells you it's a good fight.
Very good fight. Some punch stats. Muay Thai throws around 50 punches a round. That's below the 135 average. He lands 6 jabs a round. That's pretty good. He lands 36% of his power. That's modest. 30% of Muay Thai's landed shots are body shots. That picture right there is what Muay Thai is. He is very good. He does a lot of things good, not one thing great. He's a very solid fighter. Those punch stats, I know, don't tell everything. Solid. But you can get a pretty good visual of what type of fighter he is. Then you go over to Cruz, and you see the dynamic, how dynamic he is on offense and defense. Throws 62 punches around. That's above the weight class average. Lands at a 40% clip of his total punches while throwing 62 around. Lands 9 jabs around, which is double the weight class average, and lands 45% of his power, and he limits opponents to just 24% of their total punches. So Andy Cruz is dynamic. This guy is... Really, this could be the Andy Cruz coming out party, and you take a look at the lightweight division right now. You got Muay Thai, the IBF champion. You got Shakur, the WBC champion, and he's fighting at 140. Who knows if he'll ever go back down to 135. You have WBA vacant because they've recently stripped Tank, or made him champion in recess, and you have Abdullah Mason, WBO. It's a weight class that is ripe for the taking right now, and Murataya can solidify himself, or Andy Cruz can burst onto the scene. So there's a lot going on in this fight. It's a hardcore fan's delight, and we will be tuned in. Tank getting stripped by the WBA, or as far as the WBA would go there. Champion in recess. He's on the run right now. Did you see that? Tank is they can't find him.
Yeah, I saw his lawyer put out a statement like, we don't know where he is. That's not a good sign. And there is a warrant out for his arrest.
A lot of people never know where he is.
Yeah. Well. I don't know what to say about, you know, Tank in terms of legal issues, but in terms of them stripping him or putting him in recess, good move. You should. Deservedly so. Get especially because the lightweight division is moving now. It's unfortunate that the big holdup was that Shakur and Davis were circling each other. Right, mm-hmm. You got two undefeated champions at the time, you know, and that's the fight that the world wanted, and they were doing this fake dance like they were going to fight each other. That fight was never happening, by the way. And yet, the other people who were blocked out of those titles or those opportunities because of that, because they, you know, they were, you know, drip feeding the public that this fight could happen, and also the fighters around who got suckered into that. Now they're both out of the weight class. Well, Tank is in the weight class, out of the sport, however you want to call him. But regardless, he's been stripped. Shakur has moved up to 140. Not knocking Shakur because Shakur wanted that smoke. He's up to 140 now. He's got a big fight. So now we've got these guys fighting each other. You've got a fantastic fight that we just spent 10 minutes talking about, Murataya and Andy Cruz. You've got Abdullah Mason, who's broke onto the scene, fighting Sam Noakes, who's a hell of a fighter as well. That was a fantastic fight. You got those two guys. You got Schofield, who I think gets overlooked for some reason. He just doesn't get mentioned, but I think he's right there with all these guys.
He should be talked about, but he just keeps pulling out of fights.
Yeah, he's got some weird track record. But dude, when you blast out Tevin Farmer in a round,
bro, that
you
was
shut
insane.
All that shit out. And
he should have fought again. He should have fought again this
immediately.
Year.
Immediately, yes.
What are you
yes.
doing, bro? You
Well, like you said, there might have been talks of him and Murataya, and that could have pushed.
There were.
He could have got left in the dark on that one. Or he could have put himself in the dark on that one. It's hard to tell. But I think he's a very dangerous guy as well. 135 is hot. It's moving too. Guys are fighting each other.
Yeah, it's changing. It's changing right before.
A lot of O's are going to be gone soon. Put it that way.
Yeah, so Tank gets stripped by the WBA. They put him a champ in recess. And now the vacant belt is looking to be unvacant. The vacant belt is looking to be filled. And you have Floyd Schofield potentially fighting Lamont Roach. Lamont Roach last fought at 140, but he has told me and other media members that he would go down to 135 for a opportunity to fight for a world title. You also have Lucas Body, who signed to MVP, who had a big time win in 2024.
He gets left in the dark, and that's my fault too. I'm guilty of that. Sorry.
No, it's fine. I mean, he's not one of the bigger names, but he's a dark horse at 135. He's really good, and he's top five with the WBA. So I think it's going to be Schofield for sure fighting for the WBA title. It's going to be against either Lamont Roach or it's going to be against Lucas Body. So it's up to Roach if he wants to go back down to 135, where, you know, he fought last year and arguably beat Tank, or he's going to stay at 140 where there are some bigger names. So I think Roach wants that smoke at 135, and it's a great fight. Roach versus Schofield. Body versus Schofield is a great fight. I can see that being made on an MVP card. So that should get figured out, the WBA situation. Then you have Abdullah Mason just chilling, 21-year-old phenom, champion at WBO. And whatever happens with IBF here, with Murataya and Andy Cruz. And then Shakur, too. So there's a lot of questions, just like common theme of this podcast, a lot of questions. Hopefully we get answers this year. So that should be a good fight. Israel Majumov is returning on this card against Luis David Salazar. I think Majumov has been out for a while with an injury. Khalil Cole versus Jesse Hart. Wow, Jesse Hart. How about that? Light heavyweight. Amari Jones, Olympic standout, is coming back on this card. Capo Gallegos. I really like this. Really good prospect. I called a bunch of his fights on MVP. And then Zaquin Moses. Have you heard about this kid? Junior lightweight?
No.
I've heard really good things about him. really good things about Zaquan Moses, who's fighting on this DAZN card. So you have the DAZN card Saturday night. You got Zuffa Boxing Friday night. You have UFC, if you're into that, Paddy Pimblett versus Justin Gaethje. So it's starting to pick up. Business is starting to pick up. And then in 1 week, on Saturday, January 31st, we are throwing a pre-fight party, Jack Doyle's Restaurant and Bar, for Shakur and Teofimo. Buy your tickets now. $20 ensures you that you get to shake Chris Algieri's hand. That right there is worth it alone, I think.
Photo ops, dating advice, no kissing booth this year.
Ruling that out due to the heavy flu bug that's going around.
Flu bug. A lot of people are sick in New York. I'm not playing with that fire. Yeah, I'm looking forward to all the fights you just said. We got fights this weekend. You know, it's been a little slow. Last weekend was a little bit slow. Not a whole lot to talk about, but we got a good bunch of good fights this weekend. And then next weekend we got our massive weighted party that has been long awaited. Been getting DMs nonstop for 2.5 years.
Our tickets are moving well. I think we have to ramp it up with the promotion. I got to figure out ways.
We do got to ramp it up, but also New York is a walk-up city. So
you're damn right.
Last minute ticket sales are going to be huge.
We're going to get some fighters locked in. I'm going to put that on you. I'm going to put that on you.
I've been slacking. I don't know what I've been doing with my time.
Talk to the fraternity, the boxing fraternity.
Yeah, I'm going to reach out.
You guys have a group chat, right?
Yeah. We have a key that we all have to turn, put in at the same time, and turn, and it opens up this communication.
How sick would that be?
we wear robes and masks, and we have meetings.
Like a yearly meetup.
Yeah, it's like
anyone that's ever held a belt.
Yeah, the world champion room. It's a very exclusive place.
You're in it.
Yeah, I got to reach out to a couple of my manager friends, a couple of trainer friends, a couple.
It's gonna be an awesome time.
Lines to fighters, so
it's gonna be a great time. Jack Doyle's Restaurant and Bar. It's like a short walk to MSG. I'm pretty sure we're gonna stay at the bar and watch the fights. So there's been a lot of people that think, man, I would love to watch a fight with you and Chris. Here's your chance, because you can just hang out with us at the bar and watch that fight. You can hang out with us at the bar and watch Teofimo Shakur. We're also going to have Zayas Barao on TVs as well, because that's going to be on Top Rank's Fast Channel. So we're going to have ourselves a boxing smorgasbord at Jack Doyle's Restaurant and Bar on Saturday, January 31st. Buy your tickets now. So it's a pregame party. Most will leave and go into the event. We're going to stick around, hang out, watch the fights with us. I mean, where are you going to get value like that?
I think most people are actually going to hang and watch with us. Tell you the truth,
tickets up.
I've been talking to. Yeah, they're just like, they're gonna scalp them on the street right outside Doyle's because it's across the street from the Garden, and they're just gonna hang with us.
That's illegal.
Does Doyle's have food? They have food, right?
Yeah, it's a restaurant. Very good food. I'm gonna actually talk to Brendan.
Cheeseburger.
Bacon cheeseburger for Algeri. Come to the party to watch Chris Algeri devour a bacon cheeseburger.
Bacon cheeseburger and some sweet fries. Let's go.
There's gonna be food. Drinks. The $20 ticket you buy now gets you one drink, and then
they pour a good Guinness there. We'll tell you that for our Irish listeners.
Split the G.
Put the G.
On Saturday, January 31st. All right, guys. We have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday to break it all down. Enjoy your Zuffa boxing. You're either going to be watching it happy, or it's going to be a generational hate watch. And then Saturday night we have a really good lightweight fight on the zone. Your traditional boxing. So something for everyone this weekend, Chris.
Yeah, I will be tuned in. I'm going to be in Key Largo because you know me, there you go. I can't stay still. So I'm going to go enjoy myself.
That's awesome.
In Key Largo. I'll be watching fights out there.
That's sick. I'm going to be under maybe a foot of snow.
Yeah. That's the choice that you make living in New York. And I have the choice that I've made living in Florida, where I can drive less than 2 hours to Key Largo.
Hate you. All right, everyone. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday. Keep your hands up at all times. Protect yourselves at all times. Buy tickets to our live event and stay out of the DMs unless you want to buy a ticket. See ya.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.